Coast Access Radio. The next generation is here. Finn and Kai. This is The Social Link.
3, 2, 1, go! Just let go, go, rush.
Welcome back to The Social Link for another episode. Finn, mate, how are you today?
Oh, you know.
Having a great time today, I do have to say. I've had a good day.
That's good, mate. That's good. And as we all know, May is New Zealand Music Month. Yeah. Did you know that?
I actually did not know that.
Oh, well, there you go. Learn something new.
Yeah.
So, in that case, we've got a local Kapiti musician in the studio with us today, Charlie Ravenwood. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
That's good. And look, we just wanted to get you in here to talk to you about like your local music, your story and your journey and how you got to where you are now. Yeah. So, I mean, like Finn, have you got anything you want to ask? Because this is your guys' first time meeting each other. I've known Charlie since college.
Oh, yeah.
Bro,
I feel like the odd one out right now.
Missing out.
I didn't get dobbed in on this information. Where would you say that you first started to sing?
Oh, okay. So I grew up in a pretty musical environment. So I had my first like musical experience when I was like 6.
Oh, that's quite young.
Yeah, yeah, I performed at my school's like talent show and I sung like a really old song because my brother was like forced to be in this choir and they were playing all these really old music, like all this really old stuff, and I really liked it. And I was like, yes, I'm going to sing this at the talent show. That's kind of how it started.
Getting into it at a young age is so much better as well. You kind of just grow up naturally with it.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Like that was me here. I remember when I was like 11 years old, bro, I had like my own mixer and my own online radio station in my room, like sitting there with like a red on-air light outside my door. It was so funny. I know, but yeah, it was honestly like, but it just shows the passion for it, you know?
It's
always good to get into something when you're young.
Exactly.
Like you're saying, you can just take it with you your whole life. And it's something, when you find something that you really like when you're young, you don't forget it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Even if you don't do it for a little bit, you always remember back to those times when you were a kid and you're like, wow.
Exactly.
That was really fun.
It really becomes ingrained into your roots.
Oh, 100%,
and you start it from a really young age because it's like becomes part of who you are.
Yeah, definitely. Especially music.
Yes.
That
would
be
like
a big...
before you're conscious of it as well, I think.
100%. And so for people like that haven't heard your music before, they're hearing it for the first time, what would you say like your sound is?
That's such a hard question. I'd say that it's like alternative rock/folk, but that's kind of like a really basic way to describe it. To me, it's more of like, it's like an experience.
Yeah.
It's more like an emotive experience where I want to take you on a journey through my songs that I kind of create.
Yeah.
And it's like a story in a way.
Yeah, that's actually a really good way of putting it. That's the first time I've heard that before. Yeah, taking them through a journey with the set, like the lyrics, I'm assuming, and all that.
Yeah, and the emotion in the music.
Yeah.
It's kind of like storytelling.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Has it changed much over time, like, I guess, the style and sound of it? Like, obviously,
definitely.
You started, like, what would you start off singing? Like, would it be the popular songs everyone knows, or?
When I was, like, 11 and I first learned to play guitar, I would learn, like, the most basic, like, I learned, like, a Lorde song. And then I learned like heaps of Taylor Swift. I loved like country Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
So I would learn heaps of her stuff. Mm. But since then it's evolved. Like every year as I've gotten older, I've gotten into different stuff and got inspired by different stuff.
Yeah.
And it's kind of just, taking me on a new journey through the different versions of myself.
Because, obviously music and everything is such a big part of your life. But like for the music that like other people have created, what would you say is like your favorite? Right, and has it influenced what you be getting up to?
It so influenced me, yes. My favorite bands like Radiohead, Fleetwood Mac, Norah Jones, Bon Iver, but I'm also really influenced by like a lot of Australian musicians.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the folky musicians that kind of like just go in their vans and tour and chill out and surf, and I really look up to that because it's a shit that I really love to do myself.
Yeah.
So I would really love to be able to do stuff like that, and I think the musicians that make it their lifestyle, it just really resonates with me a lot.
It's like you let the music take you where you want it to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. And like, when did it start going from being something you enjoyed just to something where you realize like, oh, I'm going to make something out of this, or I'm actually good at this kind of thing?
I guess when I started, it was because I used to, take a lot of inspiration out of the kids at my school that were doing it. And I was like, I can see myself doing that. Yeah. I can just see that being me. I just know that it's meant to be me.
Yeah.
And then as I kind of kept progressing in it and just stuck with it, I guess I got to college and then it got a little bit more serious with competitions and getting into scenes like that.
Yeah.
And then I left school and I was like, I don't know what to do with my life. And then I got really lucky and I got a job doing tutoring. And then that's when I realized that I could literally live off like my music, which wasn't even the point. Like, I've just done it because of my love for it, but it's been so much more than that, which has been really cool. Like, it's quite lucky.
100%, yeah. I'd love to be able to do something like that where it's like creating your own work. It's literally artwork if you think about it, you know what I mean? Yes.
Totally. Yeah. It's kind of like what we're doing with the social line.
Yo, like we're creating art. Well, I wouldn't really call this artwork, but
it's creative.
Creative.
Cooking up some artwork, bro. I could not do that. Bro, if I tried doing what you do, it'd actually be a dumpster fire. And if I tried doing some music stuff too, honestly, bro, if I picked up a guitar, honestly, they'd be like, wait, someone would come and take it off me.
Honestly, man,
I'll post up around the campfire with my acoustic guitar, or they'll be like, put this thing in the fire, or we need more firewood.
I'll steal it off you first.
I was just thinking about that. Like playing around the campfire. If you just were like to start playing something, like if you had a guitar right now, could you like, would you play something for us?
I would. Yes. I would play one of my original songs.
Yeah. I could not do that to save my life. I ain't picking up a guitar and jamming out no tunes. Cause that's like something you have to like learn to do over so much time. Well, I mean, it's not just, it's like, oh, I'm gonna learn this. It's like, I'm gonna take the commitment and I'm gonna enjoy to learn it. And I'm gonna learn to play it in a way where I can make my own music from it.
Exactly.
It's very vulnerable as well, like expressing that side of yourself to other people. Like, people don't really think about it, like that people, oh yeah, they just jump up on stage and sing some songs. But no, it's actually really vulnerable, especially when it's your own original music, because often you have stories behind it and it comes from your experiences and things that are really personal to you.
Like, in the sense you're saying, like, it's like a, like your music is like a story to you. It's like, it's a part of your life. It's like you're telling someone a story about like your life, obviously.
Yeah, it's like you're revealing, and it's like, your mind, really.
And then to be able to like, and then to be able to stand up in front of a bunch of people and actually sing it and play it and play it proudly too, and not be like shy about it. And it's like, you're putting what you have made out there for the people, and you're showing that you work so hard on this and you're going to play it with pride.
Did you grow up in Kapiti your whole life?
Yeah, I went to Te Horo school. School, and then went to PC.
Would you say that, like, being from a smaller place, especially like our community where it's tiny, bro, like it's so tiny.
Yeah.
Was it?
In Otaki. Well, Te Horo.
Te Horo. Yeah,
especially in Te Horo.
Well, I didn't live there. Well, I did a little bit. I kind of moved around a bit, but yeah, it's tiny.
100%. Would you say being small made it harder or made it easier to kind of be better and creatively?
I feel like probably easier, because it was more community. Yeah. And when you're in community, I feel like you thrive so much more, because people are so much more open and friendlier and connective. That was my experience growing up. Like, we were, like my school I went to, we were very tight knit and we had so much opportunity, and everyone was like, everyone all knew each other and everyone would take inspiration out of each other and collaborate.
Yeah.
And which gives you a lot of opportunity. But then if you're more from the cities, people are a lot more withdrawn and less likely to kind of reach out and be comfortable with being friendly and just things like that.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Like, being like, it's when they say like word of mouth gets around really fast in a small community. It's like, if you're in a small community, you do something creatively, it's more likely to get around, you know, and people find out and start engaging with it because it's a smaller community and everyone's so close. But in a place like, if you're in Wellington, like, say, and even for us, like, if we were doing this in Wellington, it probably wouldn't have as much engagement as it would doing in a smaller community.
Exactly.
Yeah. And same with music as well.
Competition as well.
Yeah, like, exactly.
People get so caught up in, like, bigger areas with the competition, and people are so competitive, especially musicians.
Definitely,
like,
yeah.
I find it really sad that a lot of musicians get really caught up in their ego and they can't be happy for each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not what it's about.
No,
that's not what it's about at all.
No.
Because, like, music, like we were saying before, music is something you create out of love and passion for what it is. Music isn't something that you just create for a profit.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You can't just come up with a good song out of the blue.
I mean, you need to
start right.
ChatGPT might help you out there.
Yo, for real, though. But I'm meaning like in the sense of, if I was to pick up a notepad right now and I just started writing down something, it would probably probably not would not be very good. I can tell you that.
Depends on your viewers, really.
Yeah.
Do you think there's enough support and opportunities for young local artists around, like, in a small community like us?
I think there actually is if you know how to reach out and you know, and you actually advocate yourself. Some people are quite lazy and don't actually put an effort and expect everything to come to them.
Yeah.
And nothing will if you don't reach out first.
Yeah, definitely.
But the more that you reach out, the more links that open up for you and the more opportunities that open up for you, I believe.
Yeah.
And for me personally, I feel like I've gotten a lot of opportunities out of being in a smaller area.
Yeah.
Just by getting out of my comfort zone a little bit and just trying to persevere through things and like doing things that I think are too far out of my league and just doing it anyway.
Exactly.
Because that shows the people that you're like obviously talking to. That you want it.
Yeah.
You really want it. You're passionate for what you're doing. This ain't no cash grab.
Mm. Yeah. Do you still tutor at House of Sound?
It's a little complicated right now.
Yeah, because I remember you told me back at the live art. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, I had to resign because I moved to Australia, but I'm trying to get my ins back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they would because, like, I'm sure they loved you and stuff, helping out all the kids and everything.
Yeah, I loved
it. Well, you're not going to Australia anymore.
I already went. I came back.
Oh, so. What were you in Australia for? Would you tell us a little bit about that?
Soul searching, really.
That's actually cool.
I had a calling and I had to answer it.
So. I felt that. A little journey through time.
Yeah,
exactly.
I felt that way. And I mean, have you had any cool stories that you might want to share about that and how it has affected something in your music?
I met this really cool Uber driver, actually. I don't know how much this is related to my music, but it is. I was in Sydney and I was trying to get a bus to my hostel at 6 in the morning and I just came off an overnight bus and I had about 2 hours of sleep the whole night.
Oh.
It was a nightmare. And then I sat down in this park and I sat in a puddle of piss on the seat.
No.
And it was just, I was miserable. And then I was like, fuck, okay, I guess I just should call an Uber because I couldn't figure the buses out. And then I called up the Uber and then he got lost. And then he finally found me and he jumped out and he was like, oh my gosh, it's such a privilege to drive a musician. Can you sit up in the front with me? I really want to talk to you. And I was like, I barely slept, but okay, let's do it. I'm open for it. And then we had this big fat like talk, and he was like, in 5 years' time, where will I expect you to be? Like, are you going to be a famous musician? Like, what are you going to be doing in 5 years? And I was like, man, I have no idea. No. I really don't know. I just came here to kind of just adventure.
I mean, hopefully, because think about how cool that would be from small town Kahawhi to nationwide, like you were saying before, touring and stuff like that.
Because
I've been seeing a lot.
Should have got his phone number. I could have.
He gave it to me.
Oh, did he?
He wanted to put me on the radio in Sydney.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was he like a radio presenter as well?
Yeah, he worked at the radio station on Monday.
Oh,
and he was like, oh, if it feels like the right thing to do and it's destiny's calling, you will call me and you will be here on Monday morning. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to be in Sydney on Monday. I'm moving on, but I'll keep you in the back of my mind.
Yeah, I'll keep your phone, keep your number saved in my phone. Right? Yeah. Five years, you give him a ring on. He'll be hello. He'll be like, guess what, my brother?
Yeah, I'm famous, man.
I'm famous now. Coming to perform in your city.
I was going to say, that's actually really nice for him to do, though. That must have given you so much motivation.
Yeah.
Like, and that moment of dread where you're just like, oh, you've just had an absolutely rough time. And then you just get like someone who is just all there for you.
Yeah.
And then he was like trying to inspire me as well. And he was talking about like career paths and then telling me that after I have a sleep that I need to go to the beach and take my shoes off and go for a walk for an hour with no headphones, no music, and bring my journal and do some journaling. And I was like, you know what? I will do it.
That is so cool.
Imagine you call him and like the number just goes to like nothing. It's like not even a real number. Imagine he's like the saint.
Yeah, I was about to
imagine
say.
He's like the holy saint. He's just he ain't even a real person. It's like, what if the actual Uber driver did get lost?
True, he never arrived.
And then the bro just pulled up. What was his name?
Wouldn't tell me his name. He wanted to stay mysterious. And I was like,
he is the Messiah.
Yeah, I tried to shake his hand and I was like, what's your name? I'm Charlie, like, what's your name?
Yeah.
Thanks so much for the conversation. He was like, I'm not going to tell you my name. If it feels right, you'll just call me. I was like, okay. And then I like reviewed his Uber driver, Uber thingy, and it had his name on it. So I got his name anyway.
I bet that man actually was the Messiah. Yeah. Honestly,
I would say so. Eh? It's like he just came down from the heavens.
Like,
though.
You're like the old king out of the Alps.
But honestly, I bet you would have shook his hand and your hand would have just gone straight through him.
Yeah.
Honestly, he, that man was not there. Or he was a hologram.
Yo. And more on like songwriting and like the act when you're writing the lyrics and stuff like that. Like, we were kind of touching on it before, but does it all come from personal experiences?
Ooh,
or?
I love this question. Okay. So, yes, mostly personal experience. Mm. I was thinking about it today, if you asked that question, what I would say. And I was thinking, how does my songwriting process, like, come about? And to be honest, usually it comes from me feeling a certain way, like, in myself. And it's usually coming from me feeling not quite right or feeling happy or feeling really sad or feeling grief. Mm. And I just pick up my guitar and I'm like, I know that I need to let it out.
Yeah.
And so I pick up my guitar and I'll just write whatever feeling I'm having and like translate it into my guitar, like into my riffs and my melodies through my guitar.
That's so cool. How do you go about actually getting it from like how you feel to actual chords on a guitar? Because that's one thing I've always thought. I mean, if you tell us the secret, or you know.
I'll try. I try and match my feeling to the sound of my guitar, if that makes any sense. It's like my emotion is the same emotion that my guitar is sounding like.
That makes sense. Yeah. Like it's like how you've got the different, what is it, like D minus and C minus, and I have no
idea. Me and Kailash actually have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, I have no idea about any of that stuff, even though I do this. I probably should, but.
I mean, because it's like, what are they called? Like minor chords or something?
Minor or major.
What, are they just like, explain that to me right now.
Happy and sad.
That's what I was about to say. Like, bro, is that how you would channel it? Is through notes and stuff and the.
Yes, I suppose. Yeah.
It's like you're feeling. It's like you're feeling pretty sad, or you just give it like a light strum.
Yes, my E minor comes out.
Yo, does it feel like? Can it sometimes feel weird and like putting personal stuff like that out there?
Yes, very vulnerable and exposing, especially when like, I usually try and like make it poetic, like with my lyrics, and I'll try and hide the true meaning in poetic lyrics, but the truth is in there, and if people decode it enough, they can understand what the truth is and what I'm trying to actually say.
Yeah,
but I make it complicated enough so people can't quite read it.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Man, they made the best songs, like, bro. I'm thinking like Black from Pearl Jam, there's absolute goat banger.
Yeah,
but it's such a sad song, and it's like such an evil. Like if you guys listen to it, it's such an evil experience the bro was going through.
The minor going on, that's like
And listen, I feel like those songs that are real personal and actually because it's like I feel like because I don't know. I feel like people always think they feel the way they're feeling is they're the only people in the world feeling it, but they're not.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. It's like
music's good for
it's me. Like you look at like and look at like the Beatles lyrics, it's like so many people were going so crazy over the Beatles lyrics, so they wrote I Am the Walrus so people would stop taking so much note into them.
Is but that like, actually why they wrote it?
Yeah.
Oh,
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. So people would stop learning on so like would stop thinking so hard about their lyrics, but it's like the songs that are like that and have all those deep meanings to them, it's like that's what people connect to. And that's what people, when they listen to it, they feel like they're letting it out.
They're like be seen. Mm. They can be seen and they can connect.
Yeah.
And that's what music's so good for. It brings people together.
Yeah, for real.
Makes you less lonely.
Mm. Music brings us all together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also quickly, just one more thing on like the, like overthinking and stuff. Like what would you say to someone that was overthinking about putting their music or was thinking about writing songs, but was overthinking that they don't want to put all this personal stuff out there?
Do it for you.
Yeah.
That's what I say. Do it for you because that's what music is about mostly. It's about your connection with yourself. And music should ultimately be something that you love before it is interfered from anybody else.
Yeah.
Like
exactly.
it should mean enough to you that you have meaning to it.
Yeah.
That if anybody has anything negative to say, it shouldn't matter because you have so much love for it in a way.
Well,
but I also think like, you know, don't be so hard on yourself because everyone has everyone's creativity comes across differently and not everyone's going to like what you do. And all that matters is that you like what you do.
Exactly.
Because everyone can hate it. Literally every single person on the planet. And it's but it doesn't fucking matter if you like it.
Exactly.
Yeah. It doesn't matter one bit. The only people that are hating are the people that can't do it themselves.
Yep.
The people that don't have the courage to go out.
Jealousy.
And literally. It's like exactly how it comes around. Because it's like if someone else was out there putting out something like that, like something that like you do, they would support you. Yeah. And I'm sure you would do the exact same thing for someone else. You're not going to go hate on someone else because you know what it's like. You know what it's like to put yourself out there.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
And then even further, like singing one of those songs to a group of people, you know?
It's so intimate.
I feel like Eddie Vedder and like Pearl Jam, like for him to sing like Black in front of like hundreds of thousands of people, that must be like, oh my Lord.
Yeah,
like, I'm sure you've probably felt the same way at some point.
Yeah, I've had moments.
I was going to say, I was going to move on to like performing and the confidence of it all, like performing live. Because I remember back at the live arts, like I don't think I could like get up in front. Like, I don't think I have that confidence yet to be able to get up and perform like a song or something instrumental because I'd just be worried about like what we're saying, what people would think of it.
Mm. Yeah. I was just talking to my friend about that actually.
Yeah.
And she asked me, she was like, how do you like not get stage fright? How do you just stand up in front of people?
Yeah.
And I was like, how do I do that? And then I think about when I'm in that moment, I kind of just shut off the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And I just pretend I'm in my own space. In my room or like at the beach or somewhere where I feel the most myself and when I'm in my like free creative mode and I just I just block everything out and I just focus on me and it being like my time.
Exactly. Yeah, again, bringing it back to it's your thing.
You could also put it as like everyone in that room has made their way into that room for you because they want to listen to you.
Like, definitely.
Because then I feel like that can be intimidating to some musicians. Because me personally, I find that intimidating.
Knowing that they're there for
I feel
you.
Like it'd be. I feel like it'd be kind of cool. I mean, because then you're like, damn, if I mess up the song, or it's like if these people know the song that I'm about to play. It's like I mess it up. Like
most people are pretty understanding of that, though.
Just roll with it. Honestly, I wouldn't even like if I went to a concert and the bro messed up a little bit of a song. I would not care whatsoever. I'd be like, yeah, I always get that bit wrong too.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I mean, like, what's usually going through your head beforehand before you walk up to that stage, or is that just the preparing of just blocking everything out? Really?
Yeah, mostly. I'm just trying to kind of switch into my zen mode in a way. I've had like different experiences with that over the years. When I was really little, like doing talent shows in primary school, I used to be so scared and I'd be like just in a complete panic state and I'd get on stage and I'd just persevere. Which I still loved it. And then the older I got, the more I got used to it. And then I realized that I actually didn't care what people thought because it didn't matter.
Yeah.
And then it became something that I could just be a bit, like enjoy a little bit more.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Especially like performing with other musicians, usually it's more about you connecting with them on stage than it is the audience.
Yeah.
So you're mostly just looking forward to being able to like collaborate with your friend or whatever.
Yeah, like the audience is more just there for like to be bystanders.
Yeah, kinda. Exactly. Yeah. It's your experience on stage with your music. It's nothing about anyone around me, really.
I'm sure you'd play the song the same way if the crowd wasn't there.
Usually I'm more into it if there's no crowd there, to be honest. That's just how I personally work because I wouldn't say that I do music as a performer. It's more of like a personal thing to me and I just perform.
Yeah.
But a lot of musicians like performing, so they do music because they want to perform.
Yeah.
So two different sides to it, I feel.
Yeah, that's like that.
Yeah, that's like saying it's like, do you do it for the love or do you do it for the profit?
Oh, definitely the love. I've done it forever, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I know you do it for the love. You do it for the love of the game, but like, you know, like people that just want to go up and perform, and it's just like, bruh. It's like, all right.
Yeah, some people just like the attention too.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then it's like, they even write the good songs, boy. It's just like, man, they're spending half their time thinking like, yeah, this lyric is gonna go hard on stage, instead of like, wow, this lyric was a hard time in my life.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
definitely.
I love that.
And what's been one of your most favourite performances or gigs so far?
Oh, I've never thought about that.
How many have you had? Just like real quick for people that know.
Hundreds.
Oh,
yeah,
my Lord.
I've been doing it since
But I'm actually getting like lore dropped on me like left, right and centre today. What?
I don't know what one of my favourite gigs would be. I mean, the one that I did most recently was pretty wicked. Like when I was in Australia, yeah. I played at the talent show.
Oh, yeah.
At the hostel I was staying at, they had like a garden bar across the road.
And that's so cool.
Yeah, it had heaps of musicians that just go there, like tourists and stuff, and they'll just perform at the talent show. And I signed up with my friend that I just made, and we convinced each other to do it together. And we're like, okay, well, I'll do it if you do it.
Yeah.
So we both did it. And I played my original music, and I messed up my first song. And I was like, I was feeling really upset because I was really excited to show it, and I messed up one of my chords. And then I watched back on my video that my friend recorded, and it wasn't even obvious. Like, you couldn't even tell. And I redeemed myself with my second song anyways, because it was really good. But I think what I loved so much about it was that I was in a completely foreign area with completely nobody that I knew.
Yeah.
And everyone was so supportive. And people would come up to me afterwards, be like, oh my God, I love that. Yeah. People at my hostel were coming up to me. And then when I was on my bus and I was going to Gold Coast, people I didn't even see were there that weren't even at my hostel. Two days later came up to me and were like, I saw you. You were so good.
That's
like, I loved
so
it.
Cool.
And I was like, I didn't realize anybody would care so much.
To think you made that much of an impact on all those people.
I really appreciated it. Like
the value of it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Especially because, like I say, I do it for me, but it's so awesome that I can actually make other, like, people can love it too.
Yeah.
As, like, just like I love it, they can love it.
Exactly, exactly. But I mean, look, we are coming to the end of the program or the episode. But before you go, if you could collaborate with absolutely anybody, who would it be?
Are we going dead or alive? Or
yeah, dead or alive.
Dead or alive, Michael Jackson, or any day of the week. But I mean, obviously, we'll let you. What would you say?
I don't know, eh? I really like male vocalists, so definitely Jeff Buckley.
Jeff Buckley.
I love his voice and his beautiful soul, and I love his music.
That would be so cool. Yeah, imagine that. It's like the people that go to like concert. I don't know if you saw it was recently when Coldplay came
there was
this girl who was a musician that got invited to open for Coldplay or come up and sing with Coldplay on stage. And it's like, imagine that happening with like Jeff Buckley or something, you know?
I couldn't imagine.
It'd be crazy.
It'd be so surreal.
Yeah,
it'd actually be crazy. Mr. Buckley, I'd actually be like, I'd walk up on stage, I'm like, oh, damn, that's a handsome young gentleman right there.
But I mean, hey, look, thank you so much, Charlie, for coming and chatting with us today.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had a great time.
I love it.
Where can people find you, like your music, or where can people?
Well, I really want to record some of my music, so hopefully I'll release an album at some point.
Yeah.
Just like a demo.
Yeah.
But I have Instagram, charlie.musician, but I also don't really post anything on that one. I also have my main account, which is just Charlie Ravenwood.
Yeah.
So follow both of them.
Yeah, exactly. Get the followers up.
I don't really put myself out there on anything else, really.
Yeah, nah, fair enough. But I mean, thank you so much, though, for coming in. Really enjoyed it, didn't we, Finn?
Yeah, for real. I've had a wonderful time today. Music is something that everyone can connect with.
Exactly.
It's something that everybody loves. If you don't like music, who... Get out of my face.
Can't relate to what...
It's like, can't relate. I don't want... Just go away.
Yeah.
Yes.
For real.
Yeah,
and it's like literally, like we were saying before, I've never met you before, and now we're having a lovely conversation over just like the shared love of music.
Mm. Exactly, honestly, it's actually crazy how stuff like that can bring people together. But thank you so much, everyone, for listening in to the Social Link this week, Finn, mate. Thanks again, as always, for coming in.
Don't know why. I'll always be here.
Yeah,
Thursday, I'll always be here.
And thank you, Charlie, again.
Thank you.
And that is another episode for The Social Link, brought to you by Coast Access Radio and New Zealand On Air.
Did you love that and want to listen more? Join us again on The Social Link, brought to you by Coast Access Radio and New Zealand On Air.